Church. Hi, I'm Daniel, one of the pastors here in Adam Road Presbyterian Church. Allow me to pray before we begin. Let's pray. Father, may these words of my mouth, this meditation of my heart, be pleasing in your sight, our Lord, our Rock, and our Redeemer. Will you give us understanding, strength, and courage to carry out your command? In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So we are starting this whole new series on Joshua, and as I prepare, you know, in a blink of the eye, you know, I realize I've been with ARPC for almost more than half my life. I joined ARPC when I was 19, and because Pastor Chris was a guest speaker in my previous church camp, so as a teenager then, you know, I always fall asleep during service at maybe this point, yeah. And that's why I can empathize with some of you, you know. And I was surprised that God used Pastor Chris to actually speak his words of life to me. And I was able to actually listen attentively throughout that whole camp. I told myself, I must follow this man. So I walked into ARPC in January 1999, where the congregation size was about 200, with my blonde hair then. I was immediately singled out, you know, as the newcomer. Now, I felt very welcome. I wasn't judged for my appearance or my dressing, you know, slippers, shorts. I decided to stay and even started serving in a BB ministry as an officer. So last week, I officially took over from Pastor Joe as the chaplain of the BB and GB ministry in ARPC. And as I was preparing this sermon and reflecting on my journey in ARPC, I totally didn't see that day coming, right? Being preaching here and heading a ministry. At 19 years old, I was just juggling with my BGR issues, you know, boy-girl relationship. My study was a mess and my future a blur. You know, I can only attribute all these things to the faithfulness of God working in my life. Step by step, he constantly led me to areas where I feel inadequate, and he tested me. When we reflect on our past, we appreciate the great things that God had done for us. We witness his handiwork through people, orchestrating events. God is faithful in his pursuit of every one of us. So today, as we read the historical book of Joshua, it is important to read this book in the context of the whole Bible rather than draw direct conclusions relating to the current day Israel and Gaza war. If we were to view God's big picture, the Bible story starts and ends at the Garden of Eden in Genesis 3, as you can see in the picture, where due to sin of Adam and Eve, humanity was separated from God, and concludes in Revelation 22, where God made all things new again. An angel gave Apostle John a vision of restoration, fulfillment of God's promises, and God announces that he'll come to live with humanity forever. All evil, darkness, and night will be gone. And therefore, the purpose of the book of Joshua was to recount the events from God's perspective so that the readers can witness God's faithfulness in fulfilling his promise to the patriarchs, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. God is actively pursuing his people, restoring this relationship with them. And therefore, God is faithful from the beginning, right at the beginning, until the very end. And Deuteronomy 7:9 says, "Know therefore the Lord your God is God. He is the faithful God, keeping his covenant of love to 1,000 generations of those who love him and keep his commands." We also read from Deuteronomy 28 just now during the responsive reading, a portion that was actually a portion of the Mosaic Covenant. And the Mosaic Covenant is this conditional covenant that says, if you fully obey the Lord your God, then these blessings will follow you. The intention was stated clearly with the expectations and the benefits of doing so. Therefore, Moses constantly reminds the Israelites to love God and to keep his commandments. And that is what truly means to be God's chosen people. So the story of God choosing his people goes way back to 21,000 BC, where God promised Abraham through his family that became the people of Israel. They were enslaved in Egypt. So through Moses, God rescued Israel out of Egypt. He made a covenant with them at Mount Sinai and brought them through the wilderness. So Joshua chapter 1 starts with this scene of Israel encamping outside the promised land. The theme of God's faithfulness does not end with the passing of Moses, but carries forward into the book of Joshua as God chooses another faithful leader to lead his chosen nation into the promised land. So since Exodus 4, when God chose Moses, until Deuteronomy 34, the death of Moses, the faithful ministry of Moses has always been in the spotlight. Even in the book of Joshua, Moses is mentioned 57 times. It shows that even when Moses died, this patriarch would not be forgotten. So despite the death of Moses, God honors his promises. It is not based on the faithfulness of Israel, but the faithfulness of God. Deuteronomy 7:6 says, "For you are a people holy to the Lord your God. The Lord your God has chosen you out of all the peoples on the face of the earth to be his people, his treasured possession." So the faithful God has chosen Israel as his vessel to illustrate his love for his chosen people. God, as the creator, exercising his right to allocate land for his people and judge the world with his perfect justice. There are provisions as well to even the Canaanites to be saved. Example, Rahab and her family, which illustrates God's grace when carrying out justice. I must state that this is a unique occasion as well in history where God dwells in the midst of the people. The biblical Israel has been chosen to carry out God's instruction and conquer. It is not the same Israel as the current day Israel. So the key verse of the book of Joshua comes from Joshua 1:8, where, you know, we will probably be very familiar. And this key verse actually contains two major themes of the book of Joshua. First theme, we go to the next slide. The book of Joshua records these 7 years of conquest from 1405 to 1398 BC, followed by 18 years of settling down. We can actually divide this whole book of Joshua into four different parts with two major themes. First theme, through the conquest, faith was demonstrated as Israel obeyed what was instructed to them. Part 1, Joshua 1 to 5, we read about the process of preparation. Part 2, Joshua 6 to 12, is about how they defeated their enemy. Second theme talks about Israel's faith being rewarded as they settle down into the promised land. And part 3, Joshua 13 to 22, speaks about how Israel claims their inheritance. Part 4, Joshua 23 to 24, concludes with Israel renewing their covenant with God. And if we were to look at Joshua 1, Joshua 1 actually zooms in to how the faith of man is demonstrated because of God's faithfulness. First, I'll be presenting why God is faithful. He does so by providing his people with a new leader in verses 1 and 2. He continues to keep his promise verses 3 to 6, and he will honor his covenant with the patriarch. Subsequently, I will share the impacts of God's faithfulness, moving Joshua and his officers to obey God's command in verses 10 to 18. So now, the spotlight turns to Joshua, who is born a slave into Egypt, into the half-tribe of Ephraim. He was redeemed from slavery at the age of 40, appointed as Moses' young aide in Exodus 33. He began to lead Israel at the age of 80 years old. Wow, can you imagine? 80 years old is never too late to serve the Lord, right? And under God's command, he led the nation for 30 years until his death at the age of 110. So there's no such thing as retirement, as you can see here. You know, so despite Joshua being filled with the spirit of wisdom, he will indeed feel the pressure to live up to God's expectations of him. Or will he be able to even get the support of the 12 tribes? So if you ask around my classmates in Singapore Bible College, right, very soon you'll find out that most of them are bounded to their church by a contract. You know, so the church send them for studies and then make them sign a contract to come back and serve. So some actually sign a contract about 1 year, 2 years, some 5 years or more. You know, so when I tell them, say, ARPC sponsored my studies for 3 years without any contract, they were shocked. Some even come and ask me, you know, say, hey, how can your church leaders be so irresponsible? You know, it's church funds, you know. What happened if you decide to leave the church? The church won't get to benefit at all from your studies. But interestingly, it made me reflect that in ARPC, our transaction is not bounded by a written contract. You may have the person, but you may not have his heart. I am indebted to ARPC with the contract of love. ARPC showered me with the love and faithfulness of our church leaders and pastors. They genuinely love me and care for me and my family. Their faithfulness to invest in training workers for the Lord's harvest field, regardless of where they are deployed in His kingdom. Their love and faithfulness actually dispel fear and affirms faith in God. It also requires courage on their part to obey and trust that God is ultimately in control. So Joshua 1 and 2, the description of Joshua's son of Nun as Moses' aide, reveals to us that God has chosen Joshua, and everybody in Israel know that Joshua was their new leader. Joshua learned how to obey Moses as his aide before he commanded now as a general. He was first a servant and then a ruler. Aristotle actually says, he who never learned to obey cannot be a good commander. And in verses 2 to 6, God commissioned Joshua to do three things. What are the three? First is to lead the people into the land. Second, to defeat the enemy. Third, to claim the inheritance. And with these three tasks to perform, God gave Joshua three promises, fulfilling what God promised Moses. In verses 3 to 4, God promised that he would enable Joshua to cross the river and claim the land. And in verses 5, no one is able to stand against you. I will never leave you or forsake you. And in verses 6, God would enable the Israelites to inherit the land. We will be able to witness all these three promises in the following sermons and as we study the rest of the chapters. God promised that His presence will be with His chosen people. So once I received this very strange request from a parent, you know, they don't allow this particular boys' brigade boy to come for the weekly parade because he failed in his exams. So the parents called me and told me, say, that since he listened to his BB officer, they requested for me to tutor him in a subject that I've never studied before. Food and nutrition. Oh, at first I thought they were asking me to teach him how to cook. You know, then I realized they're actually referring to the theory portion of it. So every week, I went in to their house and I sat down with him and literally just watched him read his textbook aloud. So the educators in our midst here must be laughing at my teaching method, right? But I tell you what, when his results were out, I received a call from his mother to thank me. And at first I thought she's being sarcastic. So he really got an A for his food and nutrition. And I realized that he really needs someone's presence just to sit with him to study, which the parents find it very difficult. You know, so my presence actually encouraged him to study. So what's more, God's promise of his presence with Joshua in verse 5. In verses 7, it is one thing to encourage a leader. You can tell someone to be strong and courageous, but it is quite something else to enable him to do so. This encouragement comes with a series of warning as well, to be careful to obey all the law and not deviate from it. Verses 8 reveals that Joshua's strength and courage comes from where? From the meditating of the word of God day and night, believing in God's promises and obeying everything written in it. Moses gave the same counsel to the Israelites in Deuteronomy 11. And now God is applying this specifically, specially for Joshua. In Hebrew, the word meditate, haga, means to mutter. It was the practice of Jews to read scripture aloud and to talk about it to themselves and to one another. God is warning Joshua that the book of the law is meant to be always on our lips. You know, I'm showing you this thing, it's chiastic structure. So in D.A. Carson actually plays these verses into a chiastic structure that help us to make sense of it. You know, so in verses 5b, which is top, and the bottom, 9c, surrounding the command, which is 8a and 8b, with God's promised presence. And therefore, Joshua and Israel will be successful not because they obey God's word. We hear this clearly. Joshua and Israel will be successful not because they obey God's word, but because God is with them to enable them to obey his word. Just as Jesus promised to be with his disciples on their mission, when they are on their mission. In Matthew 28, 18, it says, then Jesus came to them and said, all authority in heaven and on earth be given to me, and therefore go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything that I've commanded you. And surely, I am with you always to the very end of age. These are the words of our Lord Jesus. And Joshua possessed the law of God as revealed in Genesis through Deuteronomy. Today, we have all of God's word in the Old and New Testament. Those who study and obey God's word will succeed in God's mission because the Holy Spirit is with you as you watch your life and you watch your doctrine closely. So my grandmother, she didn't have a chance to go to school. But she has this very interesting practice. So during her birthday celebration, every time after we sing finish the birthday song, right, happy birthday song, she will recite the Lord's Prayer in Hokkien. It's a Chinese dialect. And that's what her church taught her, to memorize Bible verses because she can't read or write. So the words of God is what she cling on to until the day she passed on recently at 107. So the meditation of God's word has caused her to be really thankful for Jesus, even moments before she passed on, my auntie even shared with me that she actually asked my auntie to hold her two hands together so that she can shake it in this motion that says, "Gam xia zu, gam xia zu," and then she fell asleep. So if God's word is always on our lips, we will be constantly reminded to be thankful. And if Joshua obeys God's word, God promised Joshua that he will be prosperous as well. And God determines what it means to be prosperous and successful. As a Christian, you know, being prosperous and successful is not measured by numbers or worldly standards. So my role in the Boys Brigade HQ actually requires me to meet up with different churches, their leadership, and as well as school principals if we hear of any news of a BB company that stopped recruitment or closing down. So recently, I met with a church leader, and he wanted to close down a BB and a GB company. So I wanted to find out why. So at first, when I speak to him, he was blaming the BB captain for being very incompetent. So when I probe further, now I realized that the captain was given this task by the church to bring in 10 new students to join the children's church every year. Failure to do so after a couple of years, they will either change a new captain, and finally, they ended their sponsorship for the BB and GB companies. It pains me to see churches use numbers to measure success. Rather, the questions that we can ask ourselves is this: do we obey God in the whole process? Are we faithful doing the gospel work? Did we serve to glorify God or man? And if we can confidently answer yes to these questions, then the ministry is a success in God's eyes. God highlights that be strong and courageous is not a suggestion, but a command. A command to trust and obey His words. This phrase, as you can tell, has been repeated 3 times by God in this passage. And whenever Joshua faces an enemy that is bigger, stronger, and greater in numbers, he will be reminded of the divine command, and his fears will vanish. God continues to assure Joshua that he will be with Joshua wherever he goes. So looking back, Joshua can never forget what he saw, the mighty miracles of God to rescue his people. He has seen the 10 plagues that came upon Egypt, causing the Pharaoh, the most powerful man in the ancient world, to free God's people. Joshua has seen Moses lift his staff against the Red Sea while Pharaoh's army was chasing God's people. He has seen how the wave closed in on the Egyptian army and destroyed the most powerful army during that time. And at Marah, where he has seen how God provided for his people by turning bitter water into sweet drinking water to help them from dying from thirst. So in the wilderness, Joshua also has seen how God provided just enough food every day for his people. For over 40 years, Joshua has seen numerous mercies of God, and nothing is too difficult for God. His presence, the presence of our faithful God, is indeed with them in times when we are unfaithful. And what are the impacts of God's faithfulness? We can witness it in the response of Joshua and his officers. And if you recall the incident at Kadesh Barnea, where the nation had known the will of God, but refused to obey it in Numbers 13. Why? Because they believed in the report of the 10 spies instead of believing in the command of God and obeying by faith. Knowing head knowledge of the Bible, which ARPC is known for, and obeying are two separate things. If we listen to Joshua, if they listen to Joshua and Caleb, which is the minority out of the 10 spies, they will have spared themselves of 40 years of wandering in the wilderness. This time, when Joshua received a command, specially from God to him, Joshua responded in obedience by instructing his officers, the leading men of every tribe. Joshua ordered them to prepare food, cross the Jordan River here, and go in and take possession of the land. Joshua himself didn't second guess and work things out for himself. He didn't say, okay, let's prepare some boats so that we can cross the river. Joshua knew that the same God who opened the Red Sea could also open Jordan River, even at high tide. He had confidence that God will work on their behalf again. As you look at the map, wow, this is a bit... Okay, here's good. So, as for the 2.5 tribes of Reubenites, Gadites, and a half tribe of Manasseh, God, Joshua actually reminded them about Moses, who instructed the fighting men to be ready for battle and crossing over Jordan River, which is marked, this is the middle, that line, marked by the red arrow of the map. The 12 tribes need to be united to help the other tribes in conquering the land and in worshipping God until the Lord gives them rest. While their wives, children, and livestock can actually stay on the other side of Jordan, where I highlighted the location of the 2.5 tribes, it was a concession by Moses to allow them to remain. And Nicholas is a very mischievous boy, full of energy when I got to know him. I believe some of y'all met him during the BB Week sharing. And I got to know him, Sec 1, during the Boys Brigade. And as his officer, we constantly got complaints from teachers of him misbehaving in class. He did badly in school, repeated Sec 2, repeated Sec 3, and at the end of Sec 3, we awarded him with, in BB, we have this thing called Long Service Award, 5-year service. You know. And teachers in the school seems to have given up on him. But his captain, Albert Wong, didn't. Albert Wong is the guy on the right in a white polo tee. And Albert repeatedly assures me that Nicholas is very teachable. He invited Nicholas for weekly Bible study at his house together with a group of youth. And before Albert had to leave for the US, he brought the whole group of youth to join BASIC. And he and his wife served as BASIC leaders to help them ease in into BASIC. After he left, by the grace of God, Nicholas continued to attend BASIC all the way through Army until his BASIC group graduated to form a discipleship group. Along the way, he believed in Jesus and now serves as my fellow BB officer. If not for the faithfulness of Albert Wong, the BASIC pastors and leaders, Nicholas would be labeled as a problematic child and left to his own destiny. In church ministry, we are not called to be successful, but to be faithful. Because our God has shown us an example of his faithfulness. And when the officers of the 12 tribes responded to Joshua, what an encouragement to their new leader. God's faithfulness moves the officers to obey. In verse 16 to 17, bear with me, they encourage Joshua by their complete obedience. They have no hidden agenda. Whatever, wherever, they will fully obey. That is called total commitment. There's no need for Joshua himself to explain or defend his orders. How I wish running any ministry in ARPC is like that. So most of the time, we find responses like what we get in Luke 9, verses 57 to 62, that says, I will follow you, but let me go do this first. You know? Or, like that? then slowly fade in the background. The officers understood that God had appointed both Moses and Joshua to disobey the appointed servant was to disobey God. So the most beautiful thing is when they encourage Joshua by praying for him in verses 17b, wishing him to be filled with the presence of the Lord. And in verse 18, they even slapped themselves with a penalty of death for disobedience. This is how serious they view Joshua's leadership and their responses. At Joshua 7, Achan was killed as a result of not taking Joshua's orders seriously. Finally, in 18b, they reminded Joshua the word of God, be strong and courageous. Moses repeated these same words as he installed Joshua as his successor. Therefore, if we were to conquer the enemy and claim our inheritance in Christ, we must have spiritual strength and spiritual courage. We often see this enough in the Old Testament when Daniel, in the lion's den, he didn't ask God to actually remove the lions. David, when facing Goliath, he didn't ask God to remove Goliath. Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego, when they faced the furnace, they didn't ask God to remove the flames. In difficult times, they all had faith that God is in control instead of bowing down to their fears. Even in the New Testament, fear is not something foreign to our Lord Jesus. In Matthew's account, Jesus took Peter, James, and John along with him to Gethsemane, and he began to be deeply distressed and troubled. He said, "My soul is overwhelmed with sorrow to the point of death." Jesus has never been apart from the fellowship of the Father and the Holy Spirit. His fear was real. When Jesus knew that the hour is coming, he would be betrayed, handed over to the Gentiles to be mocked, flogged, and crucified. Jesus was enabled spiritual strength and spiritual courage to submit to the will of God, trusting completely in the faithfulness of God. So our strength and courage in the Lord takes time to build. It is like the laying of bricks, you know, fine-tuning the different aspects of our life to be in line with God's commands, step by step, little by little. We remember God's faithfulness and being willing to do likewise. When we are faithful in little things, the Lord empowers us with a little bit more. So when I was in my early 20s, I was asked by my discipleship group leader, DG leader, to take over him and to lead the Bible study group. My first response was, "Huh? You mean there's no one better? Everyone in my DG are all graduates. Some even have PhDs." And by asking someone who has graduated from Institute of Technical Education to lead, not very nice, right? You know, is there no one else willing? My DG leader assured me, "Don't worry, Daniel. It is good for your learning. In ARPC, it's all about your faithfulness. It's not about your qualifications." So the kiasuness in me, right, the afraid to lose, in me make me buy multiple commentaries to read every time I lead. And the kiasiness in me, the afraid to die, make me spend long hours preparing each study so that I will never get trapped by any of their questions. You know? So I must even ask my co-leader, which is my wife now, Cherry, to teach me how to prepare good leading questions with this nice flow, you know. So sometimes we just need to be faithful in trusting in God's leading. When we feel inadequate, that's where we need to depend fully in the Lord. Therefore, be strong and courageous, my friends. The battle is the Lord's. Allow me to pray. Father, the word of God is right and true. You are faithful in all that you do. Your love, righteousness, and justice. The earth is filled of your unfailing love. Let all the earth fear the Lord. Let all the people of the world revere him. For you spoke and it came to be. You commanded and it stood firm. Blessed be the name of the Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.